Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. I am here. I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning. Jesse, how you doing? I didn't get a chance to say hi to you this morning.
I'm tired.
I know, me
been
too.
Been here since 6 this morning.
Oh, really? Oh, geez. Well, we are here. Jesse is manning the phones, and we had some good calls earlier, so hopefully we can continue the pace with our calls. We are here live this morning, so the phone number here at the studio is 781-837-4900. So if you have any questions regarding real estate or inspections, home inspections, lead paint inspections, Title V inspections, all kinds of inspections, radon inspections, of course, is what our topic today is going to be. We have Steve Cook. You haven't been here for a while.
I have not, no.
I know. Why? I thought maybe you didn't love us anymore.
No, it's
did
just
you think
a
that?
Very busy summer. And
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's been really busy. So I've seen you a lot on the road, yes. Obviously. So, hey, Sim, want to shut off your phone?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just so we're not listening to that through the whole thing. Right. It's her. I got to tell you.
One week it was you, this week it's me.
Yeah, we also have Carolyn Allen with us this morning, and I just wanted to say good morning to you. Why don't you bring that down? I won't force you to do anything. Just say good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Yes. So Caroline is one of our agents over at Boston Connect Real Estate. So she was joining us this morning as well. So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
We're very happy to have you. I just want one announcement I do want to make. I did mention it on the last show, and I did tell my daughter, Mackenzie, that I would give a little shout-out this morning to St. Michael's College and the volleyball team over there. They are playing at Stonehill today, so they're going to be at Stonehill College at 1 o'clock. We also have another local, Natalia Macaron. I always say
Macaroni?
Her last name. No, Macaron. Macaron.
I love macaroons.
Something like, I always say it wrong, but she is... Also, she is from Hingham, so they played together when they went to Notre Dame.
Oh.
So, yeah, so she's a senior. She'll be graduating this year. And like I said, Natalia, one of my favorites. They're all my favorites on the team, but she is local, so that's why I have a little special place in my heart for her. And Mackenzie, of course. So, again, 1 o'clock today, Division II volleyball. Nothing to do. It's raining out. It's free, so you might as well go and cheer on some of our local girls. Also, just want to announce, because I'm a proud mama, I was up in Vermont yesterday because Mackenzie got inducted into the National Honor Society for math.
Wow.
So, yeah,
nice,
isn't that exciting?
Nice.
So, congratulations to Mackenzie for that great honor. It was a wonderful ceremony. We got to meet the president of the college and all of Mackenzie's professors. It was a really, really nice time. So, congratulations to Mackenzie. And it definitely skips a generation.
Oh,
my kids are so
let
smart.
Let me tell you, she surpassed me in math maybe when she was in first grade.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, scary.
Yeah,
unbelievable she's, how she is with math. And my daughter's completely the opposite. So the two of them would sit side by side, and Kimmy's, I don't even know what she's doing. I don't even understand that.
It seems like we have a caller already. So I don't know if we were that intriguing this morning. So great. We have Paul from Rockland. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, good morning. I'm on speakerphone in my truck. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly. What can we do for you this morning?
Okay, great. I moved into Rockland, and I have a 4-acre piece of land, and about 2000 when I got this, and it's really great. I'm tucked into the corner of this piece of land because most of it is deemed as wetlands, so I don't really pay much on taxes, but I'm interested in selling off the side of my land to a small portion of it, so for a house lot, and I've spoken with a real estate agent, and she said that there is a possibility and that I'd have to have it surveyed first, et cetera, et cetera. What are your suggestions, pros, cons? What should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? How much should I ask for, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so that is definitely a great opportunity possibly that you have. My guess is if it was subdividable, perhaps you probably would have known about it when you purchased in 2000, but maybe not. So what you would want to start with is an engineer who can do the whole, like a survey, but then they'll be the ones to know what you can carve out. The important part of that whole process that you have to find out is you're saying you want to build it out as a Form A lot, which is a buildable lot. What you want to make sure is that lot is going to perk. So you don't want to just go have it surveyed and say, okay, this equals an acre. I'm going to portion that out because it may not perk. So in order to have a buildable lot, you need it to perk. So an engineer would be able to do that. So there's many in the area. I'd be more than happy to give you some referrals, but I know like Grady is one of them that does locally, and there's a couple others. So I could certainly talk to you about that. The value of the land is, well, one, what somebody's willing to pay for it, and how we base that is what has sold for land in Rockland in the past 6 to 12 months. So that would be something I could sit down with you, Cindy, and I could certainly, you know, give you some insight into how that works.
Okay. Now, when you say about perking, that means that it needs to be able to sustain the weight of a foundation, et cetera?
It's more to do with the flow of the water, like that, the way that it, and maybe, Steve, can you help?
Yeah, they're going to help establish the high groundwater table and, you know, develop, you know, the depth of the home, whether you, you know, stay with a raised ranch or you can put a full, you know, foundation inside there. Plus, you see the subsoils to see, like you were mentioning, whether or not the foundation could be supported on the, you know, subsoils there.
Mm-hmm. And what type of system that you would be putting in. So in Rockland, you might have the opportunity to hook up to SOAR. Are you SOAR right now or are you Title V?
No, all of Rockland, I believe, anyways. I'm sure there might be some Title V's, but all of Rockland is Town Sewer.
So you have a hookup for Town Sewer.
Yeah,
town
so you would have a hookup,
exactly.
So you don't have to worry about any of those concerns. So,
right.
Yeah. But
another question, if I can interrupt you.
Yeah, of course.
Forget. How much of a financial outlay would I have in order to get these questions answered?
Yeah. So in order to go to an engineer, I mean, I don't know specifically, but I would guess about $2,000, $2,500, you know, to sort of get those initial plans sort of in place. When it comes to carving out that piece, that's when an attorney sort of gets involved as well. So everything has to be recorded at the Registry of Deeds and in that whole process before you would be able to sell it off.
Right. All right. So I'm talking about $2,500 initially, and there might be, possibly, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And another, you know, probably maybe another few thousand dollars to have it surveyed. Isn't that correct? I've heard that.
I don't know that. I think that calling the engineers, and maybe while on my next break, I can make a couple phone calls to a couple people real quick and see exactly what that whole process would be. It isn't like you have to put a road in, so you're just doing, I mean, that's the other thing too, is do you have enough frontage? I mean, have you started at the building department in the town of Rockland? Because you have to have a certain amount of frontage. Just because you have 2 acres doesn't mean that you can necessarily carve out a piece. So
I have a lady who's a real estate agent that's a friend, and she said that we do have enough frontage for another house there, so I know that answer anyway.
Yeah. So she said that there was enough for another house?
Yes, there is.
Okay. And you already checked with the town with the frontage and everything, and you meet all those requirements?
No, I haven't really done much on this because I would like the money that would come from selling a piece of land, but, you know, I'm not really all excited to sell off the land because I'd have a person directly next to me, and I just so enjoy my land. It's just fantastic in my backyard. It's so private. and I would be losing all that privacy. And, you know, I'm thinking about if I lost it for, you know, what, $75,000, would I really want to? I mean, I would like $75,000.
Yeah, but a potential could be more. If it's a full acre, it could be $100,000, no better, you know. So, I mean, that's part of your financial planning. But I would honestly, I would start with the building department first in the zoning department, because you have to have a certain amount of frontage in order to separate any lot anyways. So, you know, in certain towns, like I know in the town of Pembroke, I was on the zoning board, so I just happen to know this. We don't allow pork chop lots. So that means that you can't have a long, skinny, you know, entrance off of your frontage and then a bigger piece in the back, sort of shaped like a pork chop, right? Those are not allowed.
There's a neighbor right next to me that has a pork chop lot. Let me mention it.
It may be grandfathered. So that's
pre-existing.
Yeah. So, yeah, pre-existing non-conforming is what we call that, right? So I would definitely, first step that costs you no money at all is I would go down to your friendly town hall. I would talk to the building department, the zoning board department, and just they'll bring, you know, they'll have your information right there anyways where they could pull up your lot. And then you can certainly just sort of have the conversation at first, and then they'll even probably recommend some of the local, you know, engineers who can do things like that. For a simple survey, I know, you know, there's one that lives down near us. Bailey is his name, so I definitely have a lot of contacts.
Okay, well, you think I should first at least talk to the building department and the zoning board?
Absolutely. First step, that's free. So I would do that because they might just come back to you and say, no, you know what? In 1998, this homeowner tried to do the same thing, but it went through zoning and it wasn't accepted. So all of that paperwork would be in the file for your property address.
Then you know you're going to just enjoy the backyard from there.
Yeah.
And also, you might want to think about environmental.
If
you said you had wetlands, you might want to check with environmental because you may not have enough...
Yeah.
Dry land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there, like I said, most of the is zoned as wetlands. This was a brand new house that I bought. And when the builder put in this house, he originally wanted to put in four houses onto this 4 acres. But he found out that to parcel out the land and have it filled in and have the wetlands being designated for a certain portion would have been way too much work. So we decided just to plop in the one house and then walk away from it. So I don't even know. There could be a possibility of having more. There might not. So I'll look forward to talking to the building department and the zoning board. Thank you for your advice.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And my guess is that if that builder didn't do it, it can't be done. That would be my guess. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, but worth a look into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a great morning.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So that was Paul. I think it was Paul, right?
From Rockland. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions for us, 781-837-4900. Jesse is manning the phones. We have myself, Cindy, Caroline, all from Boston Connect Real Estate, located here on the South Shore. And we also have Steve Cook, who is the owner of Imperial Inspections. You do all inspections.
We cover all gambits.
Yeah, you haven't been here in a while. Give a little synopsis of yourself and your company.
Sure. Yeah, we can basically, you know, take you right from the home inspection, which is usually the basic that about 90% of buyers have done on their home, and then the optional inspections is right on, and we do electronic testing so you get on-site results. We also provide testing and certification for lead paint, anything pre-78 that you may want to consider either renting, or if you have a child 6 or under, you can have a lead paint inspection. We also cover septic inspections. Right now we're just doing commercial, residential, and we also offer well water testing. And we do insect inspections. If you go on FHA, VA, or any type of housing program, we do provide the form for that.
Yeah, that's important. A lot of people don't know that, and then they have to have another inspector come in.
Right.
And I just thought, well, why didn't you just, you know, hire Steve?
Right, that's the key thing is, you know, whether you go with us or another company, when you do decide, you know, check with the company to see if they do provide an FHA or a VA inspection form. It's a Form 33, and that way at least, you know, 12 hours before the passing, the mortgage company says, geez, where's that FHA form? And that kind
you need it for FHA. I thought you only needed it for VA, no?
VA, and then some FHA programs. That all depends on the mortgage company and the underwriting. Like Mass Housing, I just learned last week, that it's not required to have an FHA or VA inspection on Mass Housing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So today we're going to talk about radon. So this is a funny story.
And this started back on August 29th.
Was it August?
Yeah. August 29th.
Yeah, on my anniversary. That was like really? Three that or four. Was my anniversary.
No.
It was earlier than that. Definitely earlier than that.
I looked it up this morning. Yeah.
No, it was in July.
Oh, maybe July?
June. Okay.
I think.
Yeah, it was June, maybe. So I have some videos, and what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to send them to myself, and then we can stream them online. But we're going to certainly do a blog about it. So, Sin, why don't you tell everybody what our great idea was?
Well, we must have been talking radon one particular Saturday, and we both realized we'd been in our homes almost 24 years, and neither one of us, you know, back when we bought them, I didn't know anything about radon. And I said, hey, have you ever tested your house for radon? She said, no, have you? I said, no. And we see a lot where they need radon mitigation systems or the radon's really high, and both of our basements are finished. Our children spent years playing downstairs, and it never occurred to me to have the radon tested. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's call our friend Steve from Imperial Inspection and have our properties tested, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon.
Yeah, listen, I don't even want to talk about it.
So we sent Scott out early in the morning to set up both the radon tests. And
yes, we did.
Then we picked him up 48 hours later, and we had two differing results, one on Cindy's property.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we went to Sharon's first in the morning. We had this bright idea that we were going to video this. And when we went downstairs to Sharon's, and I don't exactly remember what the... Do you know what the reading was, Steve?
4.8.
It was 4.8.
And let me look. I have it right here. And you think I'm not organized. It's really Melissa. She's so good. I was like, do you have that reading? She's like, yes, right here. Yep, it came back at 4.8 for mine.
And what they suggest is anything over is 4 picocuries.
Yeah, picocuries. Yep. So that's the action level. Anything 3.9 or below, that's an acceptable amount of radon. As soon as it hits that magic number of 4.0, that's considered elevated, and it's recommended to put a radon mitigation or reduction system in the home.
Mm-hmm. So I figured if Sharon's was 4.8, mine had to be over 10. Because that's just the way everything goes for me, right? Mm-hmm. I said, oh, God, in radon is what the number two
cause of lung cancer in the United States.
So I thought, all right, we're going to have to do a GoFundMe page for me. Something's going to happen. So we all drive down to my house.
That's the day we were cracking up.
Oh, that's when we lost it that day on the show.
Yes. Yeah.
So we get to my house, and my reading, and I don't have my paperwork with me because it was so good, I didn't. 1.4 was mine.
I have a picture of you dancing around. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. People can hear it. I'm going to forward it to myself.
So I did, because it was all in fun, and we think we are Kathy Lee and Hoda, or as Sharon thinks, Yoda, I did the happy dance around. And
I wasn't happy.
She wasn't happy.
What happened with you, Sharon, when you found out the results?
Yeah, you know, for me, I wasn't overly concerned. I mean, it came back at 4.8. Yes, I know it's high. I know I should probably do a mitigation system.
Right.
But I also know that, I definitely kept the door shut the entire time because we're supposed to. I didn't even do, like, normal up and down, you know, stuff. You know what I mean? I avoided.
So you wanted to get the worst case scenario.
Yeah, yes. The basement. But one of the things I didn't realize was, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the results, is I have a dehumidifier. Mm-hmm. And it was going. And I didn't realize because it was in the sort of a back area. So I don't know if that would make it worse or better.
Sometimes it makes it less.
Yeah. So
in most cases.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that mine could potentially even be higher.
Right.
So the difference between my basement and Cindy's basement is, like, Cindy's sort of has more like a walkout. And I don't know. Again, it doesn't matter. The next door neighbor could have it. I could not have it.
Right.
My basement, especially the room where it was put in, is definitely like no windows, no escape, no anything. But it's coming in from somewhere.
Right.
But it's very tight down there. So I feel that I'm not worried about having to do a mitigation system. I just haven't gotten around to it. I mean, I'm not in my basement that much. I'm not overly concerned about it today. It makes me a little worried that I didn't know about it when we were using it more, and it was used as an office, it was used as a playroom, it was used for all those years. So I guess
I think you should do yours again. I think there might see, because I work out in the basement, so I said, can I go down there in the morning and work out and then come back upstairs? And that literally, I don't ever go out the back door, but they said, yeah, you can go up and down the stairs. And
as long as you shut the door behind you.
Yeah, the door always shuts behind me. And when I come upstairs, it always shuts behind me. So, but I think, but we did go up and down, you know, for those 2 days. I think that you, and you had your humidifier on, but I think you should do it again.
And it's funny, too, because I'm looking at this, and then I'm going to let Steve tell me exactly what it is. And look, I'm a little somber today. Look what you did. You brought me down. Like, but anyways, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but this was good. I mean, it's good for us to know, like, how our clients are feeling. Again, it's not a big deal to remediate this. I'm just, it's just another thing on my plate of things to do. So, Steve, this third column here, like, what column am I really looking
at? Well, if you look at the top left-hand side of the first number up there, that's the first hour the unit has been set in the house. Okay. And then if you read it like a book, second hour, and the third hour will be all the way to the right.
Oh, okay.
And then you drop down to the second line, that starts the fourth hour, and then all the way down to the bottom.
Okay.
Had no idea.
And too, the other thing too, I want, and this is why I think it was good actually, Steve, this was a really, really good exercise, and we're going to do a whole blog about it and put the videos up. I'm actually going to try to get the videos up at our break. But it was good because Cindy and I did it the same exact time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was like a half hour between us.
Right,
maybe.
The same weather conditions, same barometric pressure. And
So, and I want you to discuss that, how that could fluctuate and what people should think about for that. But like my first one was 3.6, then it went to 5.5, 4.3, 5.8, 5.8. Now, those ones are more concerning to me. There's one, like the very last hour, it was like 6.1, but I also have one that's 1.0.
Right.
You know, so
why such a fluctuation?
Why would that happen? There was a 2.1 and a 1.0 where everything else feels like they're higher numbers. And I know for sure I didn't go down there.
Right. Radon fluctuates all the time. And it all depends on barometric pressure. So I would say between the hours of 11 o'clock at night to like 5 in the morning, that's when the atmosphere is closest to the earth and you get a little higher barometric pressure. That can elevate radon, usually between 11 and 5 in the morning. If there's a rainstorm coming in, like it's doing today, that will elevate the radon inside of a home if it's present.
Yeah.
Because what it's doing is, you know, saturating the ground with water and preventing the radon from naturally just coming up out of the soils. And if you have a negative air pressure, you know, to your home, or say if you have some cracks in the foundation floor downstairs, when you turn on something like a fan in the bathroom, which is going to draw air to the outside, it creates a negative air pressure, or almost like a vacuum to the home, and it draws the air into your home.
Mm-hmm. So we did this in summer. Are you saying that it could really make a difference if you do it in the winter when the ground is covered with snow, potentially?
Yeah, can we do that? Can we do another one? Like, because I think that that would be good. I mean, what's the date on this? This was 6/27.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was June 27th that we did it. I think it would be really interesting and sort of like a little experiment to see how what does it happen in the winter.
Yep, that's generally the worst case scenario. So say if you have a 6-inch or a 7-inch, you know, frost on the ground there, you know, radon's not going to permeate up through.
Yeah,
it's going to be more channeled, you know, to your home or an area past, you know, least resistance.
All right. Well, more importantly, let me ask you, what did you think when you saw the results?
I didn't think it was too bad, but that's a good segue into the interpreting the results, too, because you have two EPA protocols for doing this. One is for a real estate transaction, and if you have a high radon or an elevated radon, something above 4.0 on a real estate transaction, and you use a machine, you can deem to have a mitigation or a reduction system put in based off of one test.
And who's responsible for that?
That's all into negotiations at the end. You know, the seller of the house is under no obligation to do it, but a lot of times for the $800 to $1,500, what it takes to put the system in, it's usually negotiated just to keep the deal going.
Yeah, yep. And if they decide not to do it, I mean, it is sort of an inexpensive approach to getting rid of it.
Yep.
Right.
They're going to have to, radon is a disclosable issue.
Right.
So it is definitely something that if this person doesn't buy the house, it has to be disclosed to the next person.
Exactly. Now, if you were to do the test without the electronic machine like we did on your home, and then we use the cans or what they call liquid scintillation, they recommend that you do another test in the exact same area. And then, you know, see what the results are, just in case the can was opened or wasn't stored or was out of date or something happened in transit. Because the machines that we used, you know, they have to be calibrated at least once a year at a facility to make sure that they're accurate.
Well, that would have been another fun part of us to do, is to do the cans and the machine at the same time, just to sort of see what happened, you know. So maybe that's something that we can do if we
do
it again
in
the winter.
Next time. Sure.
Yeah, and I think it's good. I mean, I think it's you know, hey, we're advising. I advise my clients if they're a buyer client all the time. Definitely, you know, as a buyer agent, it's the best time for us to give the advice. Right. Definitely have it checked, because it's going to be one of those things. I've been saying for 24 years, I'm putting a garage on my house. Mm-hmm. Never mind, I'm putting in a radon mitigation system, you know. So right. if your basement isn't finished and you're not going to be using it, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it, mostly when you're using it, I mean, is it coming up to the second floor?
Yeah, most of the time, say, like when you're reading, it was 4.8 downstairs, you know, mm-hmm. upstairs, it'll probably be right around in the mid threes.
Mm-hmm.
As it goes up, 99% of the time, it reduces itself.
Yeah. I definitely want to do it again, because I'm really, like, and again, you tell me all the time about the, you know, the dehumidifier. So we've had one, but Mark hasn't really been putting it on all the time. So I didn't think,
you didn't realize,
you know
it
what
was
I mean?
Because you don't get down there.
See, with the dehumidifier running, sometimes you get what they call plate out. So if you think of all the little molecules of radon going through the dehumidifier, or even a fan in the ceiling going, it throws all that radon against the wall, and you get what they call plate out, which will sometimes reduce the reading inside the home.
Okay. Unless it's like throwing it right on your machine.
Yeah. Right. Nope. Nope. What it has inside the machine, if you think of it, it's a little like 1-inch by 1-inch plate that's inside there, and radon is radioactive. And what happens is the radioactive hits this little plate, a solid-state sensor that's inside there, and it counts the amount of time that radon hits this little plate and then records it every hour. Then it erases, records that reading, starts a second hour. So it's how many times that gets hit with the alpha radiation from the radon.
Hmm. Well, we have Tom from Kingston on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Morning, everyone.
How are you?
It's a beautiful day out there.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful day. Yeah. We need these days.
We used to get this type of weather out in Arizona. Everybody was so happy. Because it only rained like 3 times a year.
Well, it feels like that way this year, doesn't it? Except for the past week, anyways.
I know when they took care of my lawn, they says, don't worry about it. When it starts raining, it'll come back.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Saved a lot of money as far as not cutting the grass, which was a good thing.
Yes.
So you brought up a good subject, Steve, on this radon.
Sure.
And I'm a little confused, so maybe you can guide me in the right direction.
Absolutely.
On one of the homes, you says, well, make sure you close the door. Doesn't radon sink down, or do you carry it up with you?
Radon, just if you think of it as perfume inside of a home, if you were to open it up in, say, the left rear corner of the house,
okay.
sooner or later, that perfume is going to permeate, you know, that whole area downstairs.
So you'd carry it upstairs?
Just naturally, it will raise up, you know, through the home.
And if it does, it ends up going down again, right?
It does not. It just kind of, if you think of it, it just goes up. It rises upwards.
It rises up.
Right. And radon doesn't collect, so it reaches a plateau after about 3.5 days, where for every molecule for radon that's coming in, one is decaying. So it reaches a plateau. So on a house that was, say, you know, locked up for 1 year and sealed with duct tape, you know, to a house that was, you know, the same conditions after 4 days, it should be the same inside the home.
So if people vented their basement, would that help?
That would help out tremendously.
Oh, so I can just open a window?
You can just open a window, and that will reduce it down.
You could just leave it open a little bit, just ventilation.
Exactly. Yeah, but sometimes it's depending on where the window's located. Sometimes if you do one on the first floor of the house, that will create a negative air pressure inside the home, you know, because heat convection rises up. It can cause the radon to become higher.
Is radon flammable?
It is not. Nope.
You don't worry about furnace or anything else in the basement?
Nope. If you think of radon gas, it's a naturally occurring radioactive gas. It's actually a breakdown of uranium, and radon is one of the daughter products of that. And you have your three radiations, alpha, beta, and gamma, and this is an alpha radiation that
so
it's producing.
So if we see Sharon at night glowing in the dark, we know she spent the basement.
Yeah, we just turned the lights off inside here, and her ears are kind of glowing just a little bit.
Now,
the
different tools or devices you use to get rid of it, does that, like, is it a pump or is it a ventilation system?
Basically, it's a ventilation system, or the fancy name is a sub-slab depressurization system.
And does it work only when there's, when a certain, gets to a certain level, say, for example, you said 4.8.
Right.
Does it come on at 4.1?
It runs 24 hours a day, so whether you have a reading inside the house of, say, 4.1 or 40.5, that same mitigation system will take care of the concerns inside the home. So when it's all said and done, if you look at your house, if it's a fairly newer home, you'll have like a 4-inch piece of white PVC sticking through the roof. The mitigation system uses the exact type of piping, and they either channel it up through the home and then through the top of the roof, or sometimes you see the systems running alongside of the home as long as the pipe, you know, goes above the actual roof line. And then incorporated in the pipe is a fan. And what that does is draws the gases from below the floor up and out of the house. And incorporated somewhere right where the fan is, they put what they call a manometer, which is a little plastic tube with either a blue or a red liquid inside, and there's like a gauge on either side, and that liquid level should always be offset. If you go downstairs and, you know, check the operation of it, and the liquid level in there is both at the zero mark on the gauge there, you know that system is not working properly, and that you want to contact the mitigation company, put the system in to get that up and running again.
Tom, the other thing, too, is if you go on to radonsystems.com, Eagle Environmental is a company that installs these. That's generally the person that I refer to.
Yeah.
They have an online demo on there that's really, really good. I'm actually trying to get it up on my computer, and I can live stream that for people to see. But radonsystems.com, it's Eagle Environmental. So you can see what the system is and how, and it's very easy installation. Mm. I mean,
Steve, you said a 3-inch pipe?
Yeah, it's about a 4-inch piece of white PVC, schedule 40.
And it goes right through your house?
It goes right through your house or up along the outside of the house. The more you pay...
Oh, the outside of the house.
Yeah, it can go along the outside. But a lot of times, if you spend a little bit more money, they'll bring it up through the house to a closet or something. And that way, you don't have this white pipe sticking along the side of your house.
And they'll try to put it next to a chimney.
Yeah, right.
They're really good about trying to figure out the best place to put it.
And that's, so you're putting radiation into the air up on the roof.
It'd be there normally anyways, because if you stand out in the yard, that same radiation that's coming in your house is coming up through the yard. And it's just being dispersed because if you have so much, you know, air and so much, flow outside, we're inside the house, it's being trapped and contained.
Yeah.
You know, this is a perfect example, like a house we picked up. It was two properties right next to each other. One was a guest house and one was the main house. And the main house was built in 1900 and the guest house was built in the year 2000. The house that was built in the year 2000, which is right next door to this house here, came at 17.3 for the radon count. And the main house, which is the old antique, or the one built in the 1900s, came back at 4.0.
Wow.
And they were both done simultaneously. So that tells you, you know, the radons in the lot, just that the house was built so tight because it was new, you didn't have the air exchange.
Yeah. So the older home is probably more ventilated, so they didn't have that issue.
Right. It had a stone foundation, so, you know, it was, you know, a lot more air infiltration than what a newer home would have.
Right. Wow.
So is that something that should, like, someone like Sharon take care of, or something that's, like you said, you use the words, should take care of, or...
Well, it's recommended. There's no radon police out there to come out to make you put the system inside the house. And the second protocol that you have is, say, if it's an owner-occupied non-real estate transaction, they recommend not to put a mitigation system in right away. They recommend, like Sharon was talking earlier, to follow up the second test, you know, say within 6 months to, you know, kind of average them together.
That was my next question. Is it affected seasonally?
It is, 100%. During the wintertime, it's the highest. And during, like, say, June, July, and August of this year, where it was so dry, it's generally less.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good time to sell the house, then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the kits that you can buy at the local stores, the hardware stores, to test for radon, are they accurate?
100%. Yeah, as long as they're placed and secured and mailed properly, they're great. You know, if they're mishandled, say... If you take, you know, the can out of the basement and you walk up to the kitchen, go out to the car, say, oh, geez, I forgot to seal it, then put the cover on out in the car, you're not going to get a proper, you know, test. Or say if the cat's down there, because a lot of them have charcoal inside, the cats tend to knock them over and some of the charcoal falls out. And these are some of the things, you know, the pitfalls that we've seen out there on some of the can tests.
Yeah, as far as location, so if you get it, they say to put it where, on a shelf?
Yeah, you want to put it on a shelf, but you want to keep it 4 inches away from any items. You want to stay 3 feet from a window, stay at least 30 inches off the floor, and you want to stay, you know, probably about 2 feet from an outside wall.
The other thing, too, with the machine that I think is great, Tom, is that the machine, like I'm looking at my reading now, I'm looking at 48 hours worth of readings here. You can also tell when people like shut it off. You remember one time it was battery operated. You can tell if they're opening the windows and stuff, right? How do you tell?
Right, on the electronic machine, if someone does something, either turn it off, move it, or say open a window, it does register on the machine, because where it reads hour by hour, say if someone moves it, a T would be next to that time slot, and I will let you know on the fourth hour that was set, someone went downstairs and tampered with the machine. Or like Sharon was talking about, someone unplugged it, and we'll have a P next to it, means there was a power failure, and then it went on battery backup.
The other thing, too, what about people who live in mobile homes? And so their foundation, like their first floor isn't literally sitting on the ground, but they have like a crawl space underneath there. Can the radon sort of permeate its way into the house that way?
It could, but usually it's less likely on a mobile home because you have that airflow that's going below the house.
But on a slab, it could be.
So on a slab?
You definitely want to check your living space.
Oh, 100%. You know, like a Campanelli type slab or.
On a Campanelli, But in a mobile home where I live, you don't have to worry about that because we're on a slab. It'll probably come out through the ground around it before it comes through a slab.
100%. And you're like your little skirt board that goes around your mobile home that has vents in it. So you have just airflow going through all the time.
Tom, I wasn't going to tell everybody where you lived. that question was for you.
I'm going to make sure I tell people where you live. I don't want them glowing in the dark.
Yeah, I know. I'll take care of it well before I have to do that. Do you have any other questions? Because Leo on the line from Kingston.
Right. Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Tom. It was great talking to you. So we have Leo from Kingston. Good morning, Leo.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Great. Thanks.
Listen, I've been in construction for 50 years. Radon gas is a natural gas that's been around since the Earth was born.
100%.
And natural radon gas is completely harmless. And there's not one documented medical case in the history of the Earth that's anybody's been affected by radon gas medically.
Right. With these
In my opinion. This whole stuff started back in the 70s and 80s by some environmentalists. We breathe everywhere you go. It's more prevalent where there's a lot of ledge in rocks. And we breathe radon gas day and night. It's like breathing air. It's a harmless gas. It does not affect you medically. It does not affect animals or plants. It's the same thing as breathing air.
Yeah, it all depends a lot of times on the concentration of the radon gas, too. That's why they measure it in picocuries. But the actual measurement of radon gas was started way back in the 30s and the 20s, and they do what they call coal miner studies, where people that were working down in the coal mines,
Right.
And that's how they established the protocols and the amount of time being exposed to it, whether it's a hazard or not.
Excuse me. A lot of these things. In my opinion, this radon stuff is like a phase that people go through. Just like back in the 80s, everybody thought it was a fantastic idea to insulate your house and cover it with plastic and sheetrock over it, which turned out to be a disaster for most people.
Right, that was job security for the next crew coming through. Yes.
And to me, radon gas is all this testing and equipment. It's a big waste of time and money because it does not affect anybody medically. It's a harmless gas that we've been living with since the humans walked the earth. And I challenge anybody to show me one case that medically that anybody was ever affected by radon gas.
Right. If you were to go to our website, you'll have the link there to the EPA, and they can show you the studies that were done by a lot of universities and medical, establishments to, show the exposure to different animals and stuff at different concentrations over time.
Well, that's true, but my opinion. This is my opinion.
Yep. Everybody attends. Agree or disagree.
EPA is a big joke. And as far as those studies go, it's the same as when they test lab rats for cancer. They'll give them like a million parts of a chemical, which would take a natural human being 1,000 years to digest, which of course is going to create cancer in the lab rat.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything is rigged, and to me, it's just a big scam.
Yeah, and you know, everybody, I mean, there are different things, you know, there are trigger words throughout this whole process that we have to, you know, we've heard of mold, we've heard of, you know, lead paint, we've heard of all different things, so.
Well, mold and lead paint is obviously is dangerous, and it's, you know, it has to be immediately and taken care of.
Yeah.
But like I say, radon gas is a natural gas that's been around since the earth was born, and we've been living with it and breathing it.
Yeah.
There's not one documented case that someone's been affected medically.
Yeah. Well, we'll look into some of that and see if we can get it. I know Jesse is just telling me right now I have to take my break. I apologize. I was supposed to take it at 10:20, and we sort of went past that. But, yes, I think that you bring up a point. I think that, you know, sometimes it isn't going to – people aren't going to be worried about it. Some people may be worried about it. I know you brought up the thing about ledge. I've actually had a high reading in sand one time with a new construction house. So definitely worth investigating with it being – you know, something that is, you know, people are concerned about, the EPA is concerned about. We certainly want to make sure that we advise our clients the right way, that, you know, they have the option at least to have this test if it's important to them. But we have to get to this commercial right now. So thanks for your call, Leo.
Okay, have a good morning now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Imperial Inspection Services, complete home inspection services, radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing, lead paint inspection, Title V inspection, pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week, 1-800-440-1141, or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services. 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We also have Carolyn Allen here with us this morning. And we are all full-time real estate agents at Boston Connect Real Estate. And we also have Steve Cook with us from Imperial Inspection. Steve.
Good morning again.
Yeah, and I always say this, you know what, it's like a love fest when I have you on here, but you're so good, like you're so helpful, because even this week, one of our agents had a question about lead paint, and he's like, I have a house literally built in 1978. Do I have to fill out the form? Or do I not? And I was like, I don't know. Is it bad to just fill it out anyways? And so I texted Steve in the middle of the day.
Good question.
You were so great. And you just answered me. You're like anything before 1978. So, and you sent me this great little sheet, that link. Yeah, we put it on our newsletter that we send to all our agents every week.
And that has that famous word, you know, before 1978. Yeah. So it takes the guesswork out of.
Yeah, that's perfect. So so we're talking about radon, and they're conflicting. You know, people sometimes think that, you know, it's not something to worry about, you know.
It's like anything. Some people, you know, with termites or wood-borne insects or lead paint or different things.
Right.
Some people have different tolerances.
This is how I feel, though. Why take the chance?
Right.
Why take the chance that we're going to be the study that they make? You know what I mean? Because they could. And so when I do die, just have them rip open my chest and see if I have, have the lung cancer from the radon.
But, right.
So we're just a recap. We, Cindy and I both did a test. We're going to do another test. And mine came back at 4.8. Cindy's came back at 1.4. We don't live far from each other.
No.
So it was great because it was a nice experiment under the same weather conditions and all of that. What's your biggest advice, Steve, for people who, you know, are thinking about putting their house on the market? Do you think they should do it beforehand? Or what are some suggestions you have for people?
Even if you're thinking of putting, you know, finishing your basement, you have children that would be playing down there and you already live in the home and you didn't know, like, I didn't know anything about radon or testing until I became a real estate agent.
Right, and you can have it always tested, relatively inexpensive. If you go down like the Home Depot or Lowe's or, you know, your local hardware store, you can pick up a radon test kit, set it downstairs, mail it off to the lab, and it'll kind of give you your first, you know, reality of what's going on downstairs.
Yeah. And I don't want to go against something that you're thinking, like that you're saying. But honestly, I don't trust those canisters at all. Even if it's one that I'm buying at one of the local hardware stores, I just don't trust them as much. Your machine is calibrated every single year. It's an expense. How much is the machine?
No, machines cost today right around $1,200 a piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have the good equipment, you have the expertise, and I like that I can see actually what is going on with this reading so you can sort of watch it. I just don't think that the cans.
I'm with you.
Right.
But you know what
you
I love?
You get the overall total with the can with the machine, kind of gives you the hour by hour breakdown.
Yeah.
What I love even more is that Steve's sitting across from us, and instead of trying to put money in his pocket, he's honestly saying, hey, if you want to go to Ace Hardware or Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that and pick up. Because, that is why I love you so much. Because
that's always a choice. And
right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I choose to have you come over.
Because how much is the machine? I mean, how much is it to do the test?
To do a test, it's $150 if it's real estate, if we set it up during the inspection or prior to the inspection. If it's just a standalone and another company's doing the home inspection, it's $175.
And what if I'm sorry to interrupt, I'm just a homeowner and I want to have it done? I'm
not
$175.
Selling
it. $175. Right. So this is my advice, is even if you're not thinking about selling your home right now, I think that this would be a good thing for you to have tested. I mean,
because someone's going to test it most likely, especially
when
if they're
buying the inspections.
When they do the inspection, and then you won't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Right, and about 70% of all the inspections we do, someone does have a radon inspection.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the scary thing is Google.
Right.
As much as I love it, it is very scary because I do have a property that has, you know, a radon mitigation system in it. It was there when my client purchased it years ago. And, you know, you were talking about the balance. So you can
see. Right, the manometer, yes.
Yeah. So you can see that that's all in check and that it's working. It's basically a fan that's blowing, and sucking
basically,
it up.
Basically, you got it. Something that runs 24/7.
Yeah. So what if we lose electricity? Does anybody have to be concerned?
I'd probably open a window downstairs, you know, during that time, you know, if it's the appropriate season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it isn't like it's just going to, you know, I mean, how fast
does
it come
in? It's not going to happen in 2 seconds. You know, but, you know, if you open a window, that will help, you know, keep it, you know, reduced. Mm-hmm. You know, for that time period where you don't have electricity.
Okay. So now we know I have it at 4.8 in my basement. Do you suggest that you know, and I know you were very good because you complimentary brought these to our house right. to do this test for so we could talk about it on the show. I don't expect you to do that. Now I'm a concerned homeowner.
Right.
I want to know, like, I want to see what's downstairs, but I'd also like to, I mean, do I have to be concerned about what's upstairs?
Not normally, because any of the radon downstairs will always be less upstairs 99% of the time.
All right. Well, if I have a 4.8, so it could potentially be a 4.2, and you know what I mean? But that's still over.
But for, you know, next time we do it, we may want to do it when there's a frost outside, say, you know, the first part of January or the end of December. We'll set up another one. And just for, you know, show purposes, we can set one up downstairs, set one up on the first floor, and then we can compare the readings for what we get there.
So he said for show purposes, and in my head, you know what I was thinking? Just for us and giggles. You know that? I didn't say it.
And we can always test the boat, too. You know, it's sitting right in... No.
Oh, yeah, no. We're not testing the boat, please. No, that thing's coming out of the water, actually, next weekend, too. So what are... do you want to take another break, or do you just want to keep on going?
Just keep on going.
Yeah, we're just going to keep on going, and then I owe you a commercial for... And so we'll make sure that we play him another commercial.
Sure. And then the other, as you probably noticed, is two different readings for your radon results.
On the
first page,
yeah,
you have the overall average, and then you have the EPA average.
Mine were the same.
But yours just, you know, a lot of times they do come out the same, but the differences are the overall average takes all the exposed time and gives you the average for it. The EPA average disregards those first four readings inside the home, because a lot of times we'll show up on a property, all the windows are open, all the doors are open.
Okay.
So that gives the inspector a chance to shut all the windows, secure the property, and that magic number of 3.5 days or 3.44, that's you know, the hours, that's when the reading will start. It's 4 hours after the inspector leaves.
Oh, that's great. You know what? Because I didn't really realize that, and I didn't notice. So that actually shows you that I literally had kept my property really in the same condition
it's pretty
that
consistent.
It already is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Because a lot of times we'll go by a house, you know, not that we're checking up on it, but we'll set one at, say, 72 Main Street, and we'll drive by it, you know, the next day. And, geez, the windows are all open.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
We're not going to knock on the door, but when you get back there, as soon as we see a T, a P, or something,
any
inconsistencies, you'll see there's two different boxes that we check on the bottom left of the front sheet over there saying the test, you know, was skewed or the test went okay.
It's funny, too, because my number was 4.8, and then so I'm looking at my phone number is 4848. I think that would have been a little luckier for me.
You should play that number tonight.
Yeah, maybe I will. Okay. What are some of the other, just concerns, you know, with the health aspect of it? I mean, you have this whole sheet that you give people, health and human and services, and as much as I want to respect our caller, Leo, and he's been doing this for years and, you know, in construction, I just think that if somebody's going to tell me that it's a potential hazard, I'm not going to take the chances with doing that.
Right.
But being, talking about new construction, one of the things I have seen is that the contractors are sort of pre-building in the radon mitigation because now they can get it through the walls easily.
Right. And it's fairly inexpensive to do it during, you know, construction inside the home. Some of the houses that we've seen in Pine Hills, depending on the area down there, they do put a pre-mitigation system in. They don't test for it, but if the buyer chooses to have it tested, it's a very easy thing at that point to put the mitigation or reduction system in the home.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is we've talked about this in the past because I had one where the radon came back very high and we went down there and we realized that the sump pump was like not covered at all.
Yeah.
So can you explain why that would give somebody a high reading?
Yep. So one thing you can look at is, say, if you have a crack in the floor of the basement, that's like a 100-mile wide opening for radon gas to
even simple little spider cracks.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep. Doesn't take much for it to get through there. And, you know, when you see a mitigation or a reduction system being done inside the home, they'll always seal and repair the cracks on the floor. And then the other area that they'll put sealant is where the floor joins up with the foundation wall, because you always have that little seam that goes around the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll generally seal that up also.
Well, that brings up another point that I never even thought about was, like, people do the French drains all around the house, too. So those are sort of open.
Yep. So what they'll do is they'll seal those cracks, and then they'll, you know, seal the floor or seal the sub pump opening. And usually they put a clear piece of plexiglass on the top of the sub pump opening and then seal it to the floor. That way you can see what's going on down below.
Yeah, that's a really good idea because I thought of that recently. I was in a house and it had a black cover on it, like in plastic. You couldn't see anything.
See, that's what I've seen, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just heard that doorbell. That gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about real estate. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, please feel free to give Cindy and myself a phone call. We'd love to chat with you and you know, sit down, have a one-on-one consultation with you. If you're thinking about going to some open houses this weekend, I know that we have many going on in our office at Boston Connect Real Estate. You can go on to bostonconnect.com. Under the buyer tab, you can find all of the open houses that we're having, not only just for Boston Connect, but for all of the South Shore. If you can't get into any of those properties, or if you'd like one-on-one, you know, representation with a buyer's agent, we'd be happy to accompany you to these open houses or to get you a private showing, which is actually a little bit better, and give you some really solid advice. You can reach me and Cindy or check us out at bostonconnect.com, and you can call us at the office at 781-826-8000. We also have Carolyn here too, so she can also help as well. So we are here at your service. And we'll give our cell phone numbers as we're ending. So final thoughts for the final couple minutes that we have here. What's your biggest tip and your advice when it comes to radon or something we may have not thought about?
It's either give us a call, or if you just want for information or to see if you do have a concern inside the house, is, you know, pick up one of those radon kits and test it out in your house and then go from there what the results are.
Yeah, and I say just call Steve. And,
and if you have anybody has any questions interpreting the results, whether they had it done with us or with another company, they can always give us a call at the office.
Mm-hmm. And what number is that, Steve?
The best number to reach me is 1-800-440-1141. Again, 1-800-440-1141. And I'm generally not in the office, but at the most, I'll get back to you within an hour and a half.
Okay, perfect. Again, the website, too, you have all kinds of great information over at your website, so that's Imperial Inspection.
ImperialInspectionServices.com, and you can check out anything from researching a home that you're potentially buying for any lead paint, history inside, whether it's been tested or had any sort of compliance done to it.
How is your schedule looking right now, too? Are you guys pretty booked and
pretty booked
solid?
Up? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. We have. Yeah. Who's going today at 11 to my listing? And the
11
buyer
o'clock.
Agent
too? That was going to be. That's probably going to be David.
David.
Is that Halifax?
It's in Halifax.
Yep. That's David. He's on his way. He's listening this morning.
All right. Perfect. Well, he's going to be meeting Mary Baker over there, my assistant and my client specialist. Cindy, cell phone number, real quick.
781-367-4419.
One more time.
781-367-4419.
And Caroline, how can people get in touch with you?
774-313-9177.
Perfect. And I'm Sharon McNamara, bostonconnect.com, or 781-294-4848. 781-294-4848. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.